Please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 7. Acts chapter 12, verse 7. Acts 12, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And our subject this morning is finding liberty for the soul. Well, we come to this great account before us in Acts chapter 12 of a great deliverance, a great rescue, a great liberation. The apostle Peter is set free from a prison cell because God sends an angel to guide him and to lead him to liberty. That is the account before us. And this is written for our learning in the book of Acts, written by Luke, who is also the inspired author of the Gospel according to Luke. That same Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. And this is the Acts of the Apostles, by the way, just for those who are not aware. It's the Acts of the Apostles. So basically, this book tells us what the apostles did, what their acts were. What did the apostles do? What did the disciples do after the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and rose again and he ascended up into heaven? Well, what did the disciples, the apostles, do after that? What were their acts? Well, this book tells us exactly what they did, the Acts of the Apostles. And of course, what they did was they preached the gospel. They preached the gospel of God in season, out of season, this same gospel which we preach week in, week out in this church, that the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he died, but he died for our sins. And he rose again for our justification, and that it's only through him that we can be made right with God. That was the message, the gospel message that they preached to everyone, the Jews, the Gentiles, all those who they came into contact with. But very often, we read in the book of Acts, very often they were met with opposition. They were met with persecution and hatred because of what they were saying. And well, that's the same today. You preach the gospel faithfully. You preach the gospel truly, without compromise. You will face opposition. You will face persecution. You will face hatred even. People will attack you for speaking about Christ and about the gospel and all the things that we mention concerning the way of salvation. And it was the same even then, in the very early days of the church, particularly in the early days of the church. And this is why Peter, this is why we find Peter in prison. He is in prison because he's preaching the gospel, because King Herod, Herod Agrippa, was persecuting the followers of Christ. He's already put one of the disciples to death. We read that in verse 2 of chapter 12, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. One of the disciples was beheaded, in other words. And now Herod has imprisoned Peter. Peter, who really is the head disciple, the head apostle. If you read the lists of disciples in the Gospels, Simon Peter's name is always at the top. Simon Peter was the one who preached on the day of Pentecost, which was really the first time the gospel was fully revealed. Thousands of people were saved on that day. So Peter, he is the leader. And so this is a great catch for Herod. He's caught the head apostle, Peter, Simon Peter, and Herod's intention ultimately is to put him to death also. in the same way in which he has put James to death. But we will read that Peter is wonderfully delivered. He is wonderfully, miraculously saved because of the angel whom God sends. And this is wonderful because, ordinarily speaking, it would have been impossible for Peter to have been rescued or set free from his prison cell. He was so heavily guarded, no men could have sprung him out of prison. We read how well he was guarded in verse 4. And when he, King Herod, had apprehended him, arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers. A quaternion is 4 soldiers. So 4 quaternions, 4 times 4 is 16. So 16 soldiers were guarding him. And we read later on that in the cell, he's chained to 2 soldiers. Verse 6, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains. So he's even chained between 2 soldiers. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. There are other guards in front of the prison cell. So there's no way that any man can ever actually get him out of this prison cell. Peter's friends know this. Peter's friends understand that there is nothing they can do to get him out, to rescue him from prison. But we read what Peter's friends did. What did they do instead in verse 5? Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter's friends, they knew we can't save him, but God can. So they prayed to God. And look what happened. Well, we shall read what happened. They prayed to God. They went to the God who can do all things. And you know, this is, just by way of introduction, this is what we do. When we pray in the morning service, when we pray in our prayer meeting, we pray for souls to be saved. No man can save your soul. No man can convert you. I cannot convert you by my preaching. I'm not persuasive enough. I'm not eloquent enough. I can't reach into your heart and change you. But God can. That's what we understand. And so this is why we pray. We want to save you. We want to rescue you. We want to save your souls. But we cannot do it, and so we pray to God. You can change this man, this woman. There is nothing too hard for you. And so this is why we pray. This is why we've already prayed this morning. We cannot save or convert. It's impossible for men, but God can save. And this account, this verse 7, is an illustration of how God saves a soul. This is what we shall see. This is how I will apply it. Peter, of course, is already a saved man, but this is an illustration of how God saves, how he brings people to faith, how he draws people to himself. So how does God save? How does God save Peter in this account? Well, first of all, in verse 7, we read that an angel comes to him, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. The soldiers could prevent men coming into the cell, but they couldn't prevent an angel. And God sends an angel. And the word angel in the Greek means messenger. That's what the word angel actually means. A messenger, somebody who comes with a message, an angel. And when you think of the way of salvation, the way of salvation begins with a message. That's how it begins, the gospel message. Every Christian testimony, if you ask a true believer how they came to faith, well, it begins with how they heard the gospel message. Speaking of Christ, of salvation, of everlasting life, that's where faith begins. That's where conversion begins. A message in Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God. The Bible reveals to us the way of salvation. And this is where it all starts. And this message, of course, is not from men. It is not created by men. It is not sent by men. This angel, of course, was not sent by a man. He was sent by God. And it's the same with the gospel message. The gospel comes from God, from the mind of God. When the prophets and the apostles spoke, well, they taught that which came from God. They didn't speak their own mind. They didn't speak their own opinions about religion. They spoke the word of God. God spoke through them. This message, this gospel message, is not from men. It comes from God, just as this angel has come from God. And it's so very obvious when you read the word of God. I was listening to an interview just the other day about a man who lives in the Middle East, and he was seeking after spiritual life. And he said he read a lot of religious books. He read the Quran. He read the Hindu books. He read all sorts of things. But it was when he read the Bible, when he read the word of God, he understood this is it. This is truly the word of God. Straight away, he knew it because he could understand and identify that this message was so different to anything a man can come up with. This message is from God. And this message, it brings light. The angel comes and a light shined in the prison, we read. The angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison. Well, that's what the word of God does to us. The word of God, well, there's a great verse in Psalm 119. The entrance of thy words giveth light. That's what the Bible does. God is light, and so his word is light. When you hear the gospel message and the Holy Spirit begins to work in you, it's like a light is switched on in your soul. You see things that you could never have seen before. You begin to perceive and understand things that you never could before. Before you were in darkness, now a light has been switched on. You begin to realize that there is a God. There is a real and true God. And he is your creator. You haven't come out of nowhere. You have come from somebody. God is our creator, our Father in heaven. You owe your very life to him. You are the reason you live and breathe and have your being. God is the reason you live and breathe. He is the reason you have everything that you possess. And God, well, he sees you, he knows you, he watches over you. Every second of every day, you cannot escape his sight, and you are accountable to him. He sees everything you do. He has given you your life, everything that you have, and so you are accountable to him. That's the light that comes on in your soul. You never thought about this before, but now these things become plain to you, and you see Christ also as he truly is, the Son of God. He's not just a man who lived a long time ago. He's the Son of God, God himself, equal with the Father. We know the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God and yet three persons. And well, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God, God in the flesh. Not just a man, he's the God-man. 100% God, 100% man. And well, this is what Peter himself understood. When the Lord Jesus Christ asked the disciples, "Who do you think that I am?" What did Peter say? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Christ said to him, "It's no man who's taught you that. It's God who has shone that understanding into your heart. He switched the light on, you see." So that's what happens when you read the word of God. All these things are revealed to you. You can see God as he is, but you also see yourself for what you are, for what you truly are. You see yourself, well, like this. You see that you are in a prison. This is what the Bible teaches us about the natural man. Everybody by nature is in a kind of prison, just as Peter is here. If you are without the Lord this morning, you're not as free as you thought you were. You are in a kind of prison. Your soul is imprisoned. Your soul does not have true life. Now, we so often speak about this, but your soul does not have true life without God. If you are in a prison cell, well, yes, you're alive, but you don't have true life. You have a limited life. You're limited in what you can do. You're confined in a very small space. There's a whole world outside your prison cell, but you can't see it. You can't interact with it because you're in a prison cell. Yes, you're alive, but you're not really living. You have very limited life. Well, that's like your soul without God. It's imprisoned. Yes, you're alive. Yes, you can do certain things, but so much is cut off from you. There's a whole world outside your soul. There's a spiritual life. There's God and all the blessings, but you can't interact in that. You have nothing to do with that because your soul is imprisoned. This is a terrible thing. You don't know the Lord. You're cut off from the Lord. If you're in prison, you're cut off from those people you love, from those people who are dearest to you. You don't see them. You're in prison. It's the same with your soul without God. You're cut off from him. You don't know him. You don't pray to him. And this is terrible. It's a terrible thing for the soul to be in this state, in a prison cell, as it were. The soul needs God. The soul was created to have fellowship and relationship with God. If there's no relationship with God in your life, there is always an emptiness. No matter what you do, no matter how much you try to fill the emptiness, it won't work because it's only God who can fill that emptiness in your soul. You're in a prison cell without God. And this is a terrible state, a prison for the soul. But look what happens next. We must rush on. The angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison. We've spoken about that. And look what the angel does. He smote Peter on the side. Now, what does that mean? Well, evidently, Peter is sleeping. He's sleeping in his prison cell. And so in order to wake Peter up, the angel has to smite Peter on the side. It's quite a violent shaking, quite a violent shuddering, not a gentle stroke, Peter, wake up. He smites Peter on the side. This is a violent and urgent movement. And this is very interesting because, again, this is what the gospel does, or at least this is what the gospel is supposed to do for us. So much preaching nowadays, sadly, even gospel preaching, is so light. There's no urgency. The gospel is preached in a sort of take it or leave it way. It doesn't matter, really. I'm just presenting these things to you, but it doesn't really matter either way. And nothing challenging is said at all to challenge people. That's not how you preach the gospel. The gospel ought to wake you up. The gospel ought to challenge you. It ought to trouble you. It ought to be an offense to you, in a way. Because these things are so important. You must wake up, just as Peter had to wake up. If you are without Christ, you must wake up. Do you realize what state you are in? You are in a prison cell. And the reason you are in a prison cell, why is this the state of man? Why is the natural man imprisoned in his soul? Well, it's because of his sin. It's because of his sinful nature. We are born sinners. We have a rebellious nature against God because of sin, because we love our sins. That's why we're imprisoned. Our sins are like chains that bind us to the ground. We can't come to God because we love our sin so much. It's because of our sin. And it's because we've broken God's law, the Ten Commandments, His holy law. Why? This is the reason why anybody ends up in prison. People end up in prison because they break the law. And this is why we, as a race, the human race, this is why we by nature are in prison, because we've each one broken the law of God. That's why our souls are imprisoned. And furthermore, and this is the most distressing and troubling bit, we are heading for a death sentence. When somebody is sent to prison, they are given a sentence. It may be 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. What is the sentence that God has put on us for our sins? It's a death sentence, dear friends. It's death. It's an eternal death. If we die without Christ in our lives, we go to a terrible place of weeping and wailing and gnashing, a place of eternal sorrow, a place of eternal regret. And so many people say, why do you say this? Why do you talk about eternal hell and people are sinners? This is so terrible. Well, this is to wake you up. This is so important. This is not take it or leave it. These things, we have to smite you with the gospel in order for you to seek the way out, to seek the way of escape. This is what the angel is doing here. He's not smiting Peter just to be unkind. He's waking Peter up to show him the way out, the way out of the prison cell. I have to deal roughly with you to show you the way out. And that's what it is with the gospel. We must speak about sin. We must speak about hell because it's so important and because we want you to find the way out. The way out of prison, the only way of escape for your soul, and the only way, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way that your imprisoned soul may find freedom. If I can put it this way, He is the only key that opens the door of your prison cell. The only key. There is no other key. There's no other religion, no other savior that opens the door to your prison cell, the cell of your soul. No copies have been cut. It's only Christ. He is the only one who can open that door. Only one savior. Christ has come to set us free. Well, how? By taking our place. We often speak of how Christ is our substitute. A substitute is somebody who takes our place. And this is what Christ has done. He's taken our place. We are sentenced to death because of our sin. That's what God has declared. This man, this woman, this youngster is guilty in the sight of God. He is sentenced to death, eternal death. But Christ appears and He takes our place. Lord, punish me instead of them. I will take the death sentence instead of them. And that's what He did on the cross. On the cross of Calvary, yes, He was beaten and scourged, but on the cross there was an unseen agony on His soul. An eternal agony was being imposed upon His soul, the wrath of God. That was Christ taking the punishment for our sin. He takes the death sentence so that we may go free. There is no longer any death sentence for us. Christ has suffered and died in our place. God demands justice for our sin, but Christ pays it. I will die for them. So you must come, dear friends. Christ is the only way of escape, and this is why the angel smites Peter on the side. And then look what happens next. He raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Arise up quickly. That's the the gospel call. Whenever the gospel goes out, we say to people, come as quickly as you can. Come as soon as you can. How much longer are you going to be in captivity? How much longer are you going to remain without God? How much longer is your soul going to suffer, depriving your own soul of that which it needs? Your soul is so hungry. You must feed it. Come quickly and feed it with the salvation of God. Come quickly, because of course, and we say this very often, you never know how long you have left. Come quickly, because one day it may be too late. Your life could be taken away from you quickly and suddenly. So you must come now. Don't delay. And come quickly because, well, because God truly desires to have you with him. He wants you to be with him. He longs for you to be with him. Come quickly. It's like if a parent rings a child who's at university and the child is on their way home for the holidays. The parent always says, come quickly, come soon, because I care for you. I want to see you. I want you to be with me. That's what God says to every one of us. Come quickly. It reflects his heart. Come quickly. I want you to be with me. This is the appeal of God to every single one of us. How can we resist? We must come to the Lord. We must obey. The angel says to Peter, arise up quickly. And Peter, well, he had to obey. We must obey the gospel call. We don't just hear it. We don't just think that was a nice message, a nice bit of religion for me. We obey. We repent. We turn away from the world. Stop living for ourselves and for the pleasures of this world. I live for God. And you pray to God. We saw how Peter's friends were praying. But you must pray yourself. If you are a seeker, if you truly want the Lord to enter into your life and to claim you for his own, you must pray yourself to God. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And he will. These things are so glorious. But just that final part of verse 7, I won't go any further than this verse. We read that Peter's chains, his chains, fell off from his hands. God saves you. Peter doesn't have to do anything. Peter just had to cry for help, as it were. And God saved him. And that's what we do. And the chains will fall off from your hands. Before you came to the Lord, this is what every Christian knows. Before they came to God, they were in chains. They couldn't move towards God. Peter, in this cell, he can't move because of his chains. He's chained to two soldiers. But when the chains fell off, he could get up. He could move. He could walk. And that's how it is when you come to the Lord. Before, you couldn't make the first step toward God. You didn't know how to. But now you can. The chains have fell off. You can get up, you can approach the Lord, you can pray to God, you can walk with God. You are free. Your soul is free. You are forgiven all your sin. You are free from sin, free from condemnation, free to live eternally, forevermore with God. Because Christ has saved you, you have found the way of escape. So, dear friends, this is the gospel very clearly seen before us in verse 7. The Lord comes to Peter's rescue. He will come to your rescue even this day. If you see your true state and pray to God for salvation. Well, may the Lord mightily bless these things to us.